In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have one announcement. I already talked to you about that beautiful model that's at the back of the church. Check it out again if you haven't spent time on it and wondering at the great skill of the artist who put it together. Day before yesterday, there was a young man who received holy baptism and became a new Christian. That's you, Salomon, right? Salomon Rafael. It's good that you have your godmother there with you, but your godfather didn't come to Mass today, or what? Oh, no, he's right over here. That's good. Well, thanks be to God for that great grace. Now, if you want, I'm going to extend a special gift to you, a special opportunity. If you want to go and begin serving Mass now that you're baptized, none of your classmates are able to do that, but if you want to, you can always hang out with your godfather up here in the sanctuary and get ready. We'll get you ready for the playing the organ as soon as you grow just a little bit more, okay? Good. We'll do that, God willing. So, one final announcement that we have is for Tuesday, we won't have the normal 8 a.m. Mass on Tuesday because we'll have a funeral that day for our brother Ron Lee. And if you could attend for that, it'll be at 10 o'clock. He doesn't have much family that's around. And so it'd be very helpful if we as our parish family could come together and be there with him to pray for our brother Ron Lee, who died unattended. So that'll be at 10 o'clock this week. And pray for Deacon and I as we go after that at 1 o'clock. We'll be in the prison to be able to help them through confessions and things like that to prepare them for our normal times when we can come and give them the Holy Mass. The Gospel teaches us today that Jesus was tired from the journey, so he sat down at the well. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In this third Sunday of Lent, what does our Lord do? He converses with a Samaritan woman at the well. And this woman, what she did was daily, she would go there to draw water from this ancient well, which was dug by the patriarch Jacob there in the area of Samaria. And on this day, she finds something different. She goes there at a particular hour when everything is going to be abandoned so she could just be there by herself. But she finds our Lord there, sitting at the well. What does the scripture say about why our Lord was there? It says he was wearied from his journey, so he sat down. How is it that our Lord Jesus can ever be wearied? Isn't he God? And if he's God, how could he ever be tired in this way? Does God get wearied? St. Augustine talks about this, one of the great doctors of the church. And he says this about it. He says, quote, "Not in vain is Jesus wearied. Not in vain is the power of God fatigued. If he forsakes us, then we are weary. But if he is present with us, then we are strong. It was with the strength of Christ which he created you. He formed you by his strength. He sought us by his weakness." He sought us by his weakness. He sought this woman by his weakness as well. Realize something about our Lord, that our Lord Jesus, he is both fully God and fully man at the same time. He bodily was wearied from one particular strain, creating human beings, but in a deeper sense, seeking out souls that they might find his salvation and then be recreated. That's what wearied our Lord. His weariness is a sign, yes, of his bodily humanity from the journey and from the heat of the day. But our Lord Jesus wants so badly to seek and save souls that yearning that exists for the whole of his being courses through his body, and that tires him out. We see Jesus fully exhausting himself at the end of this Lenten season when we come to Good Friday, when he gives himself ultimately on the cross, spilling out his very last drop of blood for humanity that we might find and receive and come and know and enjoy his salvation. The whole of this encounter that he has with the woman at the well rests on a single word. And the word is thirst. It's all about water, which is here. This thirst. The gospel talks about the time at which this encounter happened. Did you catch that? It says it happened at noon. Another scripture translation says it happened at midday. And still another said it was at the time of the greatest heat of the day. But the actual word that is used there is a word called known. N-O-N-N-E. Known. And what that word signifies, as the doctors of the church teach you and I, it says nonus. Nonus means the hour that brings thirst. So he meets this woman here at this particular part of the day, which is the hour known as the one that brings out thirst. It's about 3 o'clock in the day. This thirst is the culmination of our Lord's cry upon the cross. What does he say there? One of his last words, one of the seven last words in John 19:28, he says, "I thirst." What does our Lord thirst for? His thirst indeed had a physical basis because he's a human being just like you and I, but it was not for water, which our Lord was ultimately thirsting upon the cross, nor here within our passage today. Even though he was bodily weak from his journey and needed to sit down for respite, Jesus thirsted for the faith of this woman. You'll hear us say that again in the preface before we go into the Eucharistic liturgy. He thirsted for the faith of this woman. He wanted to go beyond all of her broken relationships. Wanted to move her beyond that. She had been divorced 5 times within her life, and now she was living with a man that she wasn't even willing to attempt a marriage with, who was her present partner. Why? Because she was so wounded. Because she was so jaded with the idea of love and of marriage that she gave up on the possibility of anything good, of anything holy, of anything loving coming out of any kind of relationship. Our Lord sat there that day, wearied from his journey, thirsting for her, because he wanted to bring her completely beyond her, all the political squabbles that were going on in her day between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews, they worshipped in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans, they worshipped in Shechem. They had their competing ways of worship there, and instead of our Lord getting into a debate, which is what this woman wanted to draw him into so she wouldn't have to deal with that wound that was going on in herself as a person, he wants to reveal a deeper truth. And so he tells her, "Woman, there will be a day that will come when worshipers of God who really worship him won't offer sacrifices in any way like under the way they do now. And they won't do so in Jerusalem and neither in Shechem, because neither of those two cities will be important for the worship of God." Jesus said, quote, "True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him." What he's saying is, he's saying that those who worship God will finally see him, and they will actually realize who it is that they're worshiping. They'll see God before them. What our Lord is doing is he's pointing out, prefiguring to this Samaritan woman who had her life totally messed up. He was pointing to her to the Mass, which was not yet established. Because it is here within the Mass, above anywhere else that you'll ever experience in the entirety of the universe, where Jesus can be seen, where he can be worshipped, where he can be known just as he is, right here at Mass. What Jesus is doing is he's inviting her to enter into this new faith, which he is bringing the newness of his water into. The Father, she says, is seeking people to worship him. And he's saying, people just like you. The Father wants people who are broken. He wants people who've been pushed aside. He wants people that even the FBI desires to investigate because they live out their faith properly. This is why the only requirement for coming to Mass is this. It's realizing that you're broken. Is realizing that you sin, that you fall short. The only requirement for coming to Mass is hoping and longing for change, that it's possible within your life, longing for mercy, which God is so generous in giving. And the only person who is not welcome at Mass is the person who thinks that they have no sin, who think that they have everything within their life already figured out and they're good as they are, the one who thinks that they have no need or use for change because they're perfect just as they are, the person who has no use for mercy. Those people aren't welcome at Mass, because they won't welcome Christ. Jesus thirsted this day not just for this woman's faith as he sat by that well in Shechem. He thirsts for our eternal life. He thirsts for us to come to recognize his love, which is poured out particularly for broken people. But to give us this gift, Jesus asks for one thing, and that's for faith. He wishes to elicit, to draw out faith. You see, the omnipotence of love always respects human freedom. It knocks at that door of man's heart and waits patiently for the invitation to finally come in. And that way, brothers and sisters, you and I are stronger than God, because he waits for your invitation and mine. In the encounter with the Samaritan woman on this particular day, Jesus clearly is alluding to the sacrament of baptism, which you received just yesterday, Solomon. And in receiving that grace of baptism, baptism is what? It's a source of new life, source of faith in God, in the receiving of his grace. When godparents came, just like Melissa, just like Fabian did yesterday for you, they were asked a question to respond on your behalf. And what were they asked? They said, "What do you want of the church?" And what is the response? Faith. That's right. You want faith. And what does faith promise? Was the next question. That's right. Eternal life. What do you want from the church? Baptism. What does baptism promise? Faith. Eternal life, rather. Faith and baptism, brothers and sisters, are interchangeable words. They're one and the same right there. Baptism, what it is that those who want faith, they seek out baptism because that's the way to receive it. And those who don't have faith do one of two things. Either they don't seek out baptism to begin with, or they delay baptism because they don't believe it does anything to begin with. What our Lord Jesus says within the gospel is, he says this, he says, quote, "Whoever drinks of that water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. And the water that I shall give him will become within him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What he's saying is that when you and I are in the state of grace, when you and I have been baptized, we have everything necessary to move forward so that we can reach for eternal life and finally possess it with the help of God. Water is the Holy Spirit, That's the water he wishes to give. It's the greatest gift that Jesus came to bring. And whoever is reborn by the water and by the Spirit, as he says right there, he's saying, whoever is reborn in baptism, whoever is strengthened by confirmation, receives the real relationship with God, a filial relationship, meaning you can be a son and a daughter of God with newness of life springing out of you. He says these are the ones who can worship God in spirit and in truth. It's because the sacraments have real, lasting, forever, eternal effects that begin even now. So Jesus turns to the woman and he says, if you knew the gift that God has, and if you knew the one who's speaking to you right now saying, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have instead have given you his living water. And you'll never thirst again. Remember that Jesus is speaking about what today? He's speaking about faith. He's speaking about his life-giving sacraments, which he instituted in his church for the salvation of souls. And so he's saying, ask, and you'll receive them when you're prepared to receive them. He says, seek out these sacraments, and you will find God's gift as a treasure trove for you. He says, knock at that door of the church, and God will fill you with all of his graces so that you can ultimately receive what faith promises, that is eternal life. See, I can't imagine anybody who would ever want to delay receiving any one of the sacraments, because it's not only something which is sinful, which it is, to delay receiving any of the sacraments, but it's foolish. It's absolutely foolish, because delay only cheats the soul of necessary grace, grace which is necessary to bring us through this life that we might obtain the glory that God has promised for those who love him in heaven. Each of us today, as we come here at Mass, can identify with the Samaritan woman, because Jesus is waiting for you and I. He's resting at this place for you and I to be able to find him, to encounter him. He wants to speak to our hearts. Jesus wants to speak to my heart. And so I want to close with something from a Mexican mystic who died in 1937. Her name is Blessed Conchita Cabrera, an amazing woman. And she offers us a meditation on, in the voice of Jesus speaking to our hearts, talking about how he thirsts for souls, thirsts for faith to be within our lives. If you want to close your eyes and listen to this and let it sink into your hearts, these are the words of a mystic speaking on behalf of our Lord. She says, our Lord says, I am also the one who speaks to you today. I've looked for you to the point of exhaustion in the highways and the byways of this world. It is your Jesus who comes close to you in this consecrated host. I am he who comes to ask, as I asked that Samaritan woman, to give me a drink, a little water of your contrition, and your tears to quench my thirst. Your Jesus asks for these small alms. Will you deny them? If you would only recognize the gift of God, if you could understand my fondness for you, if you were only able to comprehend the infinite love with which I follow you everywhere, if you could see my fervent desire to do you good, if you could see with your eyes the mountain of graces that I have brought with my blood and that hang over you, longing for you to open your heart and receive them, if you would only appreciate my cross, the secrets that it hides and the delights that God has reserved for the moment that you embrace them with love, if you could but understand who it is who says to you, give me a drink. Listen, hear. This is the hour of your salvation. I am the one who speaks, who wants to pardon you, who comes to you with all the tenderness of your Savior. Come, I'm here. Let's listen to those voice, that voice of Jesus. Because he's actually, really, substantially, truly here at Mass. He's here. He's present for you and I, body, blood, soul, and divinity, truly here in the Eucharist. He's actually waiting for us and to tell you and I that if you just knew the gift of God, if you knew who he who is here, who is speaking to your heart, give me a drink, then you would have asked him if he would give you his living water. And when you drink of that spring of his water, of his Holy Spirit, you'll never thirst again. Because you will become a life-giving spirit. If you want to deepen that grace, go to none other than his mother, the Blessed Virgin. She will help you and I to have attentive ears, to have an open heart, so that we don't miss this great appointment that we have with the Lord today, on which all of our true happiness depends. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.